You are now tuned in to the realest podcast.
We back up yes, in this thing. Sir. You can't roll with us if your last name don't got no loyalty. Podcast party popping, but you already knew. I've been rolling with these folks. This that Monday night crew.
Millennials versus the world like. Millennials versus the world like you. Millennials versus the world like. Millennials versus the world like you. Millennials versus the world. Millennials versus the world like you. Millennials versus the world like. Millennials versus the world like you.
Yo, what up, what up, what up, man? It's your boy, K.Mims. Welcome back to another episode of Millennials vs. the World. So, man, this one is going to be really dope, man. You know, I really, really, really care about the mental space. And these good brothers, we've been in contact for a little while, man. They're doing really dope things in the DMV. And the goal of this conversation is just to have intentional talk about what it looks like, what mental health looks like, and for men to talk about mental health because we want to kind of break that barrier down. So, man, I'm going to say major salute to the Speak Your Truth crew, man. Appreciate y'all coming through, man, yeah, for real.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, for sure, man. And I want to start with, like, for people that don't know, I'm going to go around and let you all introduce yourself, kind of give your background, what you do, and then we'll get into Speak Your Truth in the conversation.
Yeah, cool.
I'm Malcolm McFadden. I'm an artist from Annapolis. I do a couple of different things, but I've been working with Speak Your Truth for, I think, 7 years now.
To put on events.
To put on events for mental health awareness.
For sure.
Oh, yeah. So I'm Tyler Calabrese. I'm a licensed psychologist. Grew up in the Pittsburgh area. Been in Maryland since 2004.
Okay.
Planted roots here.
For sure.
So I do just typical psychology stuff, like therapy, evaluations with the VA, with Maryland, like state disability, do some consulting with medical cannabis, do psilocybin trials for Shepherd Pratt, and do a little stuff with my family's food business. So hope you enjoy the pasta.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. We'll do. Salute
Shout
to that.
Out Kachina Calabrese.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It'll be in the description. We're going to link it out. For sure.
Appreciate it.
Tyler definitely has his hands in a lot of things.
Yeah, he's a man.
But my name is David Ademudia. I'm American-born Nigerian.
Okay.
I'm a licensed clinical social worker, psychotherapist, and I was born in D.C., but lived around in Maryland, lived in Nigeria, Canada for a couple years. But I am currently working in private practice. I also have a main gig where I'm providing therapy to children all the way up to, you know, folks that are in their 70s.
Yeah.
I'm an artist at heart and joined Speak Your Truth from the very beginning.
Yeah. So before we get into how it coming back, before we get into how it came about, what drew you all to mental health? Like, what made y'all get in that field from whenever y'all got inspired to get in it? Hey, is y'all aware?
I like this little clockwise.
The way I got into mental health is I had a friend, a real close friend of mine, who committed suicide.
It affected
our whole friend group a lot. So after that, I wanted to, like, you know, make a difference, you know, try to help people that, you know, need help the way I couldn't help him. So that's how it got started. And then through that, I met Tyler. And that's how I got along with Speak Your Truth.
Dope.
Yeah. For me, besides maybe a pipe dream of becoming a professional snowboarder, being a psychologist was like something that I've always really wanted to do. So, obviously mental health has been something that I place a huge importance on. And for me, my bias is I think that every problem that is existing in the world right now is related to poor mental health. I think if we just understood ourselves and other people a little bit better, then just would be a much better world.
For sure. Yeah. For sure.
Absolutely. With me, my family has definitely seen some struggles with mental health. I've had a family member who, you know, was like a local celebrity go from being adored and loved to watching them become diagnosed with schizophrenia. And they would argue with a fly on the wall. And then they would even enter a catatonic state, which is a state where they would literally be paralyzed for hours on end standing or even sitting. And I saw it and I was like, oh, this is a joke you're playing. So I like hide around the corner and be like, you know, peekaboo, and still standing 4 hours. And I think that having watched that as a Nigerian and having my mother even just doubt it and be like, oh, it's a spirit, you know, we have to pray it away, is something that I was like, we could have not experienced this pain if we were aware.
For sure.
We could have done something much more if it wasn't so stigmatized.
For sure.
And so just being in a space where I was just drawn to the field of helping people, talking to people, is just why I'm here.
For sure. Dope. So speak your truth. How did it come about? How did you gentlemen meet? And how did y'all get that vibe going? I love what it's about. So I want people to hear. How did it come about? And we'll get into the importance of it. So how did it come about?
I'll start this one off. Just back it up a little bit, like to kind of give the origin story how we all met. So I was a supervisor at a crisis hotline, and David was one of my supervisees, and he was just like so passionate, like so dedicated, like the biggest heart, and it just really drew me to him as a person. I had left there, and then I started volunteering with NAMI, National Alliance on Mental Illness, on their board, and they were looking for like some other younger people to be part of the board. So I reached out to David, and he was game. And one of the things we had to do was start a fundraiser.
For sure.
Yeah. And
Fred Delp, the executive director, was like, we want a 5K. We want a 5K. I'm like, nobody's out here trying to plan a whole 5K. Everybody's doing 5Ks.
Yeah,
so we decided to do something a little different. And Tyler was like, at the same time, actually, he was like, let's do one of those open mics. And I was like, with mental health.
Oh,
and it was just kind of like, it just came to be just at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah,
for sure.
And we wanted to do it in Annapolis, and we didn't really know like a whole lot about the area. Mm-hmm. And it was like right around the time we were trying to get this thing going, I went to a performance, and I saw Malcolm there, and like he was like doing his hip hop stuff. I mean, he downplayed it, but my man does everything.
He's a
comic book writer. He's a beat maker, MC.
Absolutely.
Oh, you ain't say all that at the beginning.
Right. Talk about being humble.
But I saw him, and we vibed, like we clicked, and just maybe a couple weeks later, I'd met his sister, who was like a major player in the art scene, and like was trying to help us out. She's like, oh yeah, my brother Malcolm, like I think he might be interested in helping. I was like, oh, Malcolm. And she introduced me. I was like, this guy, who was like just this dynamic, like, you know, artist, was well connected. I was like, dude, this is just like a perfect match to have.
For sure.
Yeah.
You know, like this collection of characters doing this.
So let me ask you this, Tyler, real quick. I heard him say he's an artist at heart. Heard you know all the things that you do. Where does artistry sit for you as far as expression? Or is it one of those things where you saw the connection between expression and mental health and you wanted to get behind it from that end? Or are you an artist at heart too in any form or fashion?
Yeah, I mean, not like these guys. I mean, I think, you know, for me, like with growing up skateboarding, snowboarding, that was like, that was art for me of like, you know, through movement, through like seeing a space and like how I can sort of operate in that space creatively.
For sure.
But yeah, I mean, speak your truth, like the, you know, kind of the programming of it,
absolutely,
like feels creative sometimes. So like, well, how are we going to make all this stuff work and like pull these different people together? So
dope. So to the next thing I want to ask is like, how do you all, not only, you kind of alluded to it now, but how do you only make the connection between expression and mental health and finding the importance of expression in the mental health space, how people express themselves? Because I think one of the biggest things now is like outlets or the lack thereof, you know what I mean? And for you all to kind of collide those worlds with what you do. So can you all speak on like, what is it like, where's the balance or the connection between expression and mental health?
Well, the way I see it is, I think it's not even just connection. It's kind of just all in one. Because, okay. Like, even think, if you think of today, like the podcasts and stuff we have, I saw a joke on Twitter about how black men will start a podcast before going to therapy. But in a way, it's kind of like it is our therapy. It kind of like gives us a chance to like speak our truths, like in a way. Nice little plug. But basically to speak our truth and, you know, kind of just put it out there, and even though it will get judged, to not like get not feel judged in a way and not for sure. feel looked at. Yeah. So I think definitely with expression as art, it all goes in one. Because even if you think about, let's take something like trap music. Mm-hmm. Let's say some people look down on trap music, but at the end of the day, it's people giving their lives and what they go through
for sure.
every day. You know, so it's all connected for me. So especially so when we can do these events, and Tyler having the idea to even do an open mic event,
that's lit.
It all goes together because it gives people a chance to, you know, express themselves, especially their art.
For sure.
Because I mean, you what you go through is always going to be in your art, no matter how you try to disguise it. Mm-hmm. So it gives people a chance to express their art and themselves. And themselves, and you know, talk about their mental health with people who also do the exact same thing, no sure. matter what type of art it is, you know.
Yeah. Sure.
So I think it's all just all in one in a way.
For sure, dope. Yeah. So y'all gotta forgive me because as he says stuff, more questions are popping up.
Well, good.
I want to ask this. That joke is like 99% true. but let me ask you all this. Being the professionals, do you all feel like there are things like podcasting or things you could do where you may not need therapy as much? Or do you think there's a place where everybody needs it? Or people can find things that they do that balance their mental health enough where they don't actually need to see a therapist? What is you all's thoughts on that?
Yeah. Got it?
Yeah, good.
Well, I do think that... everybody does not need therapy.
Okay.
But there are so many people that are struggling to really understand their own experience. And then going to therapy is a way to get that reflection and understanding of self. If folks are having trouble coping with life, if they're having trouble building connections with people, sometimes we don't know it. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's where that insight is important. But if they're able to cope, mm-hmm. you could use artwork as a healthy outlet. You for could sure. use just a variety of different things. Self-help books. There are a lot of things out there that can help. Mm-hmm. But then there are definitely folks that can benefit from therapy.
For sure.
So I do think that it's a combination. So you can have folks... really, really benefit if they open up and talk to somebody. You've got friends, sure. mm-hmm. can really be a benefit.
For sure.
Yeah, and I mean, to piggyback off that, I mean, 100% agree with everything you said. With Speaker Truth, I think we kind of have it fashioned as, you know, that supplement.
For sure.
You know, for people that are in therapy, but maybe... like aren't really feeling a connection with other people that mm-hmm. like, maybe I'm the only one that's dealing with this type of thing.
For sure.
Or like, you know, to maybe not like to engage in that art that like helps them maybe connect in a better way or like maybe make sense a little bit more about what they're dealing with. So, mm-hmm. I don't know as much of a replacement, mm-hmm. but you know, certainly like as a supplement
for sure
for people that are going through it.
Yeah.
So.
Dope. So, before we transition into kind of a deeper conversation on mental health, like what is the goal of Speak Your Truth? Once you all take it where you all see it going and you continue to do your events and people continue to express themselves, mm-hmm. what is the goal that you all see Speak Your Truth doing for the community and for people in the mental health space?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a couple different facets to it.
For sure.
I mean, for one, to try to stop the stigma. Because like that's just a huge part of it. Mm-hmm. Because I mean, if people have the stigma, this negative impression about mental illness, then mm-hmm. that's, you know, stopping them from getting help. That's right. causing them to be prejudiced towards other people that have mental illness. So that's the huge piece of it. But yeah, I think another piece is like helping people connect around that issue. To feel like, hey, you know, there's other people that can relate to what I'm going through. Mm-hmm. But also to kind of motivate people to change. Like, you know, either to get help, to get involved in, you know, some advocacy, like on the legal side, to like, you know, petition your congressional leaders, what have you, or to, you know, like start having conversations with other people
for sure
about this type of thing. So
for sure.
Yeah.
And I think most importantly, like even with what we do with Speak Your Truth, is giving folks an opportunity to have that outlet.
For sure. Right?
Sometimes we don't know the best way to articulate with words mm-hmm. about what our experiences are or what we're feeling. And we can do that through art. We can yeah. do that through Speak Your Truth. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people who, you know, just come on stage every year, sometimes, you know, we heard one year where someone was like, yeah, I didn't want to leave my house. I was so depressed. And, you know, this event popped up on Facebook and it made me get up out of my bed and show up. And I'm on stage here and I feel supported. And that right there like made me know that I was like, we're doing something good. Let's keep doing it. No matter what we think it can be, mm-hmm. it's impactful. So let's keep speaking our truth.
For sure. Dope.
I think for me, mm-hmm. My goal is the same thing. So I think my goal for like Speak Your Truth is just having people. David says something to every Speak Your Truth. He says, you're not alone. And mm-hmm. every Speak Your Truth says that. And so that is my goal for like to do these events and have people come out, because we've also been talking about doing more events and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. News to come soon. Mm-hmm. But
we want to do
more different events so people can come out, just building connection and community.
For sure.
So people don't feel like they're alone, because I think that's a big part of it. We all have this like, they call it main character syndrome.
Yeah.
You know, like you think you're the main character, but like you're the only one. Like you think mm-hmm. everything's out to get you, but mm-hmm. you're not. So my goal for Speak Your Truth is, you know, do more events so people can come out and know that, you know, you have a support system, a community behind you.
Yeah. For sure. So, man, fellas, y'all got to forgive me, but y'all saying so much stuff that made me want to ask more questions.
Yeah, that's what we're here.
Yeah. So, like, the stigma, and I just want to say again before we transition, salute on Speak Your Truth. I think what y'all are doing is super
dope. Thank you.
The stigma, where we at currently? Right. Like, so I'm going to give a little spill and then I'm going to ask the question. Like, you see so many, like we kind of talked about it off camera, like buzzwords, people stepping mm-hmm. into the coaching space where everybody can be a life coach or everybody can be this mm-hmm. type of coach or everybody can say narcissist or everybody can say, you know what I mean? Everybody can say these things. And like where we're at in the information era or the internet era, do y'all feel like it's helping the stigma or is it breaking it down because we have access to information? So what are you all's thoughts on like where we are currently with the stigma being broken down, because that's the goal? Or do you feel like this information, which is not always good, and the power of social media is kind of actually building it back up, but in a different way?
I think that's a great question, because mm-hmm. Like you were talking on the podcast like a couple weeks ago about this, and mm-hmm. I thought it was just definitely a germane conversation to have, because in some ways I think it's been great that it's been normalized, like the stigma is definitely going down, people mm-hmm. are, you know, especially after COVID, like
for sure
being more comfortable talking about mental mm-hmm. illness and like getting therapy, what have you, but I still run into so many people that are like, no, I'm not couldn't do therapy, I'm not insane, I'm not crazy. It's mm-hmm. like, no, that's not, like, you know, you don't have to be like in a severe condition to benefit from therapy. I tend to agree too that I think there's like these TikTok therapists out there, no offense to the TikTok therapists that are making people making everybody think that they have these severe conditions, when mm-hmm. I think we need to be a little bit easier on ourselves. Like, dude, just because you can't find your keys here or there does not mm-hmm. mean like you have to be pathologized and you have ADHD. Let's give ourselves some slack, or like just because like you're kind of like peculiar and you want to keep to yourself, that doesn't mean you have autism. Like, mm-hmm. like that's all right to just be like that without a pathology attached to it. So that's I'm off my soapbox.
Stay on. That's why we're here, though.
Yeah,
fellas, what is your all's thoughts on what social media does to the mental health space as far as the stigma?
Well, I think it has its benefits, you know, spreading the word, mm-hmm. like helping people understand that, you know, there is help out there and, you know, this could be something that you are experiencing. Mm-hmm. I think that because a lot of folks are afraid of going to therapy, opening up, mm-hmm. right? They easily can go to TikTok and listen to a TikTok therapist where it's like, yeah, now I heard what I needed to hear mm-hmm. and now I'm this is what I got. But yeah. it takes time to unpack these things. For it sure. takes an assessment and an evaluation mm-hmm. in order to fully understand what that big picture is mm-hmm. like. And I think that yes, people can be informed about their possible diagnoses or, mm-hmm. you know, ways to kind of help them cope in social media, TikTok world, right? Like, here's a coping strategy here. Here, you could do this. If you're feeling like that, you could do, it could be helpful, but it also can, just as you said, you know, previously, it can be teared down and rebuilt into something where mm-hmm. people are just putting labels mm-hmm. on everyone. And I'm exactly. not the one for labels. Like yeah, you sure. don't know me or my personal experience, no mm-hmm. labels. And so I think that it is at a state where speak your truth is needed.
For sure.
To help bring individuals together for mm-hmm. a form of expression, to actually learn, about mental health, to actually maybe even learn coping strategies. And our goal is to continue to bring local clinicians, therapists, organizations mm-hmm. that help with providing care mm-hmm. in and connecting them to the people. So mm-hmm. I think sure. you are asking the right questions.
Yeah. I'll put myself out there a little bit, right? Like, I've been, so just to give context, like, raised with a single mother, mom mm-hmm. passed at 21, moved mm-hmm. up here from North Carolina to DC 2013 with my now wife, then fiance, mm-hmm. went through it, got married at 23, started my career at 22, got married at 23, just not knowing it was a lot of transitions at once, yeah. right? Yeah. So I know. So like, but when you're young, when I was young, it was just like, man, my mom going, I got no ties in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. My wife was going to Georgetown. I'm like, they pay educators better up there. Mm-hmm. It worked out well, but it wasn't as planned as it seemed now at 33. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So I'm moving now as I'm 33 years old. I have two kids. And on my Monday night crew, we have two therapists. And we mm-hmm. always talk about people's like emotional capacity and people's mm-hmm. mental capacity. And as I grow older, I'm realizing it's harder and to connect with people who, when I don't understand their experience, like I know you had a different experience, but it wasn't my experience. Mm-hmm. So I try to show as much compassion as empathy, but I don't know where to pull from because it wasn't my experience.
Yeah.
So I try not to offend people with my way of thinking because, like, in my mind, this is just me being honest. Like, I lost the person I loved the most at 21. So 10, 12 years later, I'm like, nothing's that bad. Like, you can get through it. I went to therapy. Mm-hmm. I did all those things now. I've really dealt with it. But, like, learning what people's stories and capacities are, how they were built, are so different. And I said that to say, to the main character syndrome, how do y'all think about where does experience play in people's willingness to connect? So, like, if we had different experience, but we said may need the same help, where do y'all feel like that plays a factor in seeking the help, if that makes sense? So, like, I lost a parent. Somebody may have lost a dog, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Grief looks different in different ways. Absolutely. It doesn't have to be something big all the time. How much does that play a factor in connecting in those moments to therapy?
I think it...
Good question.
That's a very good question.
Appreciate it.
So I think it plays a big factor in your experiences, or just especially with therapy in a way. So when I was a kid, I had anger problems. I had really bad anger problems for whatever reason. So my mom had me in therapy as a kid. I did single therapy, group therapy sessions. And so I was a kid at the time, and I still to this day don't understand how, like, you know, I thought about this as a kid. But I think four different therapists. I had one black male therapist and one old white lady and two white male therapists. Mm-hmm. And I always connected more with the black therapist. Like, mm-hmm. also, he also was a friend. He was the father of a friend of mine. Mm-hmm. So I connected with him a lot, and it was because we had some of the same experiences. Like, he could understand me. And I also, as a kid, I felt like those, especially the older white lady, because, like, she's at the opposite spectrum of me. Mm-hmm. So I felt like she couldn't understand some of the things, even as a kid. Like, that now as I'm older, I can see why I thought that. Mm-hmm. But yeah. I felt like she couldn't connect with me. So in those therapy sessions, I didn't give as much. You get what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. I didn't give as much to me as I did to the older black guy.
Got you.
I saw, because he had some of the same experiences. He had a son, my exact same age as me. We went to the same school. You know, he could talk to me in a way that I get it. So I think experiences definitely play a lot into getting therapists. David also, he tries to get, like, you know, black people to black therapists, because mm-hmm. even though we say we're all the same and we all, like, you know, we all live on this world, but we have different experiences. We process things different, which isn't a problem. I think we all need to more so lean into that we are all a different and that we're not all the same, you mm-hmm. know? So, like, people process things different. Like you say, grief looks different. And I think experiences, if we can put, you know, similar experiences, it helps you with going through what you're going through, if that makes mm-hmm. sense.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'll take a little clinical route here, but just as you said, like, experiences, trauma affects everyone differently, but what often happens when someone experiences trauma and it goes untreated, unhealed, it changes the way people see themselves, the way they see the world, and how they interact with other people. So if someone experiences trauma, it affects how they may be able to connect with someone. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be vulnerable because the last time I was vulnerable, I was a victim. I don't want to extend myself out to other people because I'm alone, main character syndrome in this fight. Mm-hmm. And again, you're not alone.
Yeah.
You're not alone. But our experiences pave the path that we all need to take. And sometimes if we don't get the help that we need.
For sure.
Therapy, mm-hmm. that path can go off to a place where we find ourselves truly alone.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah. Nice answers, guys. but just like to add a little bit to kind of where I think where art comes into play with that of mm-hmm. like gaining that empathy, you know, as a clinician or just as a fellow human to better understand somebody that, yeah, you're just never, even if people have like almost identical sort of experiences, like how those things affect them and, you know, what that does to their life, it can be completely different. But that's, you know, I think where art can sometimes, you know, help transcend and like really help you put yourself in the other person's shoes for and sure. really understand like what it's like for that person's experience. And, you know, by doing that, like having a better understanding, a better connection to your fellow man. So, yeah. I mean, I think that's, you know, with the art connection with Speak Your Truth, definitely.
Yeah,
for sure.
You know, helps tackle that issue. For sure. That understanding gap.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Appreciate y'all sharing that. And so I think this is a perfect time to ask this. So like as men in the mental health space and men in society and reality, what are kind of the challenges you face and the obstacles being in the space and balancing your own mental health while you're trying to show everybody what it's like to express yourself? You're trying to, you know, it's work changing the narrative around yeah. things and really being committed mm-hmm. to it. So like, how is that balance of doing that and, you know, balancing your own mental health?
All right.
Clockwise. Go clockwise.
The hard questions.
My bad. Yeah, man.
No, you're good.
That's a really good question. It can be very challenging, especially from the era that, like, so I was born in 92, just to give a little backstory. It's like from the era we're from, you know, you're made to not cry.
For
not
sure.
Not cry, not show emotion. Like, mm-hmm. you're made to just get through it. Like, you know what? Like, we're taught that to, you know, just get through it. Like, this, and it's hard, you know, when you tell people, yeah, come out, speak your truth, you know, and, you know, talk to people, but you yourself are from the era where people tell you not to, you know, mm-hmm. at the same time. So even myself, I don't really talk about much stuff. So it is actually kind of hard at the same time dealing with your mental health. I remember at one event, I don't think I ever told you guys this, but at one event, I found out my dad died after the first artist. And
sorry to hear that.
Yeah, so we had to go through the whole night of Speak Your Truth. I don't know if y'all remember, but like after every event, I would go in the back and I would just like cry. But it was hard. But at the same time, Speak Your Truth, that night helped me get through that because at the same time, you're there for something bigger.
For sure.
It? So it's bigger than you. So Speak Your Truth, I think doing these is hard to like balance your mental health sometimes. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, doing this helps you, you know, get through things.
For sure.
Because, you know, you're doing something big. It gives you a purpose. That's what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. It gives you a purpose in a way so that you can put your stuff to the side and then handle that mm-hmm. later mm-hmm. and then help these people, which in turn helps mm-hmm. you, you know. It helps your mental health in the same time. So, yeah, I think that is very hard mm-hmm. and just to, like, balance that. But if when you have a purpose, it helps.
For sure.
That makes sense.
Hey, man, appreciate you sharing that, man. That was
I don't think I ever told y'all that, but yeah.
No, I saw
I think I remember that. Yeah. I think I remember that. I was like, where's Malcolm? Where's Malcolm? What's going on?
It was a very hard event. But
I can imagine.
We made it through, so we still here today. So
you are.
So salute to you sharing that, bro. I'm going to leave that right there. Salute to you sharing that, bro. Loss is never easy, man.
No.
So you appreciate you sharing that, and you really articulate that with grace, man. Salute to you.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. So,
didn't mean to bring down the mood.
No, we're connecting. I wouldn't call it that. We're just respecting the moment, bro.
I think something that these two do that's just, you know, alchemical in nature is at Speak Your Truth, we have all this really heavy stuff that people bring to, like, sometimes people do comedy, it's like a little bit lighter, but like sometimes people bring like some harrowing heavy stuff to the stage.
Stories.
And these two as MCs for the event, like, sort of find a way to like turn that into like something uplifting and inspiring of like, oh, it's not like a bummer thing. It's like, whew. Like, good for, like, give it up for this person who put their nightmare of a story out there.
For
like
sure.
They're here, like they're getting cheered on. Like, so, it's amazing watching it happen because it's hard to like take something that's like heavy and painful and then like mm-hmm. you know just flip that into like, well, this is a good thing, man. Like, this is great mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. somebody's out here sharing their story and like, you know, feeling empowered. So,
which Tyler does a great job of, by the way, at the events. Tyler makes the event. If you think about the event, it's kind of like can be sad, but Tyler, mm-hmm. when he's there, he makes the event seem like, you know, like this is great. Like, he's always clapping, he's cheering everybody on.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
Tyler makes the event seem like it's, well, not seem because it is. It's like he makes the event so uplifting. So it's more of a joyous event and not just, you know, you're more so getting it off your chest.
For sure.
A relief type of deal.
Yeah. Super common. You got a super common spirit, man. You super, like, common, man. Zenful.
On the inside, I'm a anxious mess.
He's not lying.
He's not lying.
So, and speaking of, like, just our own personal mental health struggles.
For sure.
I struggle with ADHD, and it feels like a nightmare. It feels like I'm, like, completely disabled at some times. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I work with my clients who also experience ADHD, you know, I'm not going to be jumping out there and be like, yeah, I've got it too. And, you know, my experience is like yours. Because everybody's got a different experience.
For sure.
But I do know what it feels like to be completely unmotivated, to be an anxious mess to the point where I don't complete or execute on the task that, you know, I've promised. I was like, yeah, I got you. And then I don't do it. And then I just, you know, I have found that, you know, in order for me to be the best version of myself, I have to be honest and realistic with what I'm capable of doing. And I always used to have like such a very critical space for me and being like, okay, you will not tell your clients to do a thing that could help them that you haven't done yourself. Mm. And I've found myself trying to balance that. Like, I can't do everything. I can't have every single experience for me to be in that space for to fully understand what a client is going through. Mm-hmm. But what I have learned is that I can try.
For sure.
I can do my best. For and sure. I can pay more attention to my health, the energy that I'm giving to other people, because sure. in a helping professional, this is what I do. I help people. I give my time, my space, my energy to other people, but I must give it to myself.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Salute to you. So that kind of ties into what I was going to ask next. What do you all do when you are feeling burnt out? Like,
try not to get there.
Okay, that don't mean it don't happen, though.
The climb out of burnout,
uh-huh.
it is not easy.
So what do you do before you get there, then, to not get there?
This is what we talk about. This is the TikTok buzzword. Self-care, yeah. Right? But it's truly, you must prioritize your needs, mm-hmm. right? Like, if you forget to eat, which some people do, because we're working so, hard trying to pay these bills. Trying to pay these bills. You're constantly working.
Yeah.
And so what about drinking water?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, these are these small things. Getting up, going for a walk. Mm-hmm. You know, we can, you know, translate that even further. Go work out. Sometimes we don't have the energy to do that or the time to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But then also for me, I use mindfulness.
I know, right? We had a brief little intermission, y'all. My fault. You were saying the way you handle it was mindfulness.
Yes. So I was just talking about mindful eating. So mm-hmm. you can, you know, take a piece of chocolate and, you know, just you could eat it fast and just like, oh, this chocolate is good. But like, think about what would happen or what could happen if you decided to, you know, be intentional about how that chocolate tasted. Right. If you were to just like close your eyes and think about, okay, is it bitter? Is it sweet? Is it smooth? Is it caramel? Is it gooey? And just taking that moment can help you be more present and allow your body to calm, to soothe. Right. Sure. And so when we talk about ways to deal with the stress of every day, it's because we are so prone to like go, go, go. We're in a capitalist society where it's all about, you know, just as you were saying, making that money, getting 85,000 by the time you're 20 something. Like, yeah. it's unrealistic. And so it gives us this urgency, this anxiety that takes us away from the present, and we need to come back to the present so we can focus on what's happening in this moment. And that's what mindfulness does. You can do it by breathing. You can do it by just being curious, being open about that perfect space or imperfect space.
For
just
sure.
being present. And so that's what I do.
Sure.
Yeah. To bring it back to Speak Your Truth, real quick, I mean, part of what we want to do is like let people know about all those different avenues for dealing with burnout. That, yeah, that therapy, or, you know, not just burnout, but just stress in general, that, you know, therapy is one part of it. But, you know, we have, you know, folks like that, you know, so like, hey, art's my way to do it. Some folks are, you know, with like mountain biking, like that, hey, this is our way to like connect and like, you know, unwind and like, you know, deal with like PTSD. So, you know, I think what we do is good in terms of showing people that, you know, there's all different types of ways to feel better, you know, they're healthy. So, you know, experiment a little bit. For me, yeah, I mean, I do therapy. You know, shout out Jeff. Thanks, bud. Helped me through sometimes. But, you know, exercise, like, you know, running, like, if, you know, running is, like, become a necessity for me.
For sure.
You know, give him a couple runs in a week.
I second that, for sure.
You know, my brain's not right.
It's like an instant release, too. Like, you get back, it's like the day is off of you.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, I think just other things like skating, snowboarding, acting like a maniac at a punk rock heavy metal show.
Yeah,
like,
just
get a little cathartic release. Yeah, so, but yeah, I mean, it takes work to keep your head right. That's for sure.
For sure.
But also, you got to like know yourself too. Like, you know that you like that running is your thing that will get you to wind down.
Mm-hmm.
Like for me, if I deal with burnouts, I normally have to do something mindless where I'm still doing something. So my thing is playing Pokemon.
Cars or the Game Boy?
The game.
Oh, salute. Yeah, that's what's up. Red version, blue version?
Red version, blue.
On the Switch.
Okay.
Yeah.
You still do the same. You know, interesting. You still, like, capture the same way, fight the same way and everything?
Well, no, it's different, bro. It's
a whole nother level.
They, like, they out there like animals.
Oh, wow.
Like, yeah, so it's not like you going through the grass and then they appear. No, they literally right there as a Pokemon. And then one of the games, they attack you if you're too close. But, like, so that's going off topic.
Yeah,
but,
my bad. That was my fault.
Millennials, though. Yeah.
I just got to do something mindless. And Pokemon is a challenge. It's still a challenge, but it's still mindless, you know? So Pokemon is that for me. Something mindless where I can still do something.
For sure. Yeah. So before we close out, man, I want to ask this question. And I purposely didn't say it before because I wanted it to be an authentic question. So before we close out this dope conversation, I want to ask each of you men, when and why did you start speaking your truth? When and why did you start speaking your truth?
You asked my mom since I was 3.
Yeah.
But, I would say 14 kind of is when I started getting into art and poetry and stuff like that. So that was more so when I started, like, you know, voicing, you know, things I would go through poetry.
Salute. Salute.
Yeah. I guess by speak your truth, you mean like kind of being more open and with other people.
What's your intention about?
You know, just like about.
So let me clarify.
I'll clarify for you.
So like when I say when and why did you start speaking your truth, when and why did you feel the value in you being transparent and what you've been through and how to push people towards this space? No matter of the stigmas, no matter of how hard it seems. So, like, when did you start being open to the world so the world in turn could be open to what you're pushing? So when and why did you start doing those things to express yourself or to show the world what mental health is about, to kind of change the narrative around it?
Yeah. Another great question.
appreciate it.
I mean, I think for me, exposure to music that, you know, got into some of the heavier stuff that made it seem okay to talk about emotions and feelings and stuff, like more the punk rock stuff I was into, like as a teenager, still. Mm-hmm. But that like, you know, that it was men that were, you know, tough guys, you know, people that I looked up to that were still like comfortable putting, you know, their feelings out there and just, made it feel more acceptable to do for me as a young man.
For sure. For sure. Salute.
Yeah. I think there's like a couple periods of time in my life where when I first recognized that it's so important to like have an outlet, have a release is when, you know, I was in high school, just similar to Malcolm, like I had so much anger from, you know, so many, hard things that I experienced in life, bullying, you know, being homeless for years in 3 different countries. And like I held all of those things in. And, you know, one day when I was just bullied to the max, I was going to make a decision that would have changed the course of my entire life. And, you know, I was met with the world, God's, a mercy that, you know, someone just out of nowhere came and stopped me and said, you know, son, you don't have to do what you're about to do. And I was like, I don't. I have a choice. And then I went into my bathroom and just like let it all out, thought about everything and said, I decide to let it all go. Mm. And so from coming from that place to as an adult, learning that, you know, I have to let things out. Poetry came into play. Spoken word came into mm-hmm. play. Artwork came into play. Singing from my soul came into play. Absolutely. Sure. And so I think that, you know, it's an ongoing process for me to, you know, safely be open and disclose to the world about like my personal experience. Cause I don't want everybody in my business, but at the same time, because I've experienced these things is mm-hmm. what makes me a really good therapist. And so I have to give a little here, story tell here, so that some people can fully understand that I am here for a reason and I'm here to support them. My story is not yours. Mm. We didn't grow up the same,
for sure.
But I know pain and I'm here to support you through yours.
Salute. Man, I just want to say, fellas, I appreciate y'all coming out having a conversation, man. I don't think you all realize you all's energy and you all's vulnerability, transparency during this time is like, that's what it's about, man. Like, you know, just trying to push that narrative of like, hey, men can't express themselves, you know, mm-hmm. and, you know, black men get it really hard. And mm-hmm. y'all just coming together, showing the world that, hey, there can be collaboration between cultures. I think that's big mm-hmm. too.
Absolutely.
And there can be conversations had on both ends and we're all human first. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? So just salute to y'all and everything y'all doing, man. We definitely going
to
sit down again, man.
We have to. The goal of this, man.
Part two. You know, appreciate everybody tapping in. The goal of this is to move the conversation forward, push the culture around, mental mm-hmm. health forward, man. Really, really salute to the fellas of Speak Your Truth crew, Malcolm, David, and Tyler, man. Appreciate y'all coming out.
Thank you.
It's your boy, K.Dot Mims. We out.
M.W. We back up in this thing. You can't roll with us if your last name don't got no loyalty. Podcast party popping, but you already knew. I've been rolling with these folks. This that Monday night crew.
Millennials versus the world light. Millennials versus the world like you. Millennials versus the world light. Millennials versus the world like you. Millennials versus the world. Millennials versus the world like you. Millennials versus the world light. Millennials versus the world like you.